Hey, the It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Hey friends, it's time for coffee, and I'm your friend and host, Jeanette. I'm so glad that you're here today. I hope you know by just pressing play on that podcast app, you have a friend with you. My hope is that as you listen, you will know that you are heard, valued, loved, and not alone no matter what stage of life you're in. I hope that you're subscribed so you never miss an episode, and it would mean the world to me if you left a rating or review. I'm so glad you're here, and I cannot wait to introduce you to this week's guest. Hey, and welcome back to our small series, Coming Soon. These past 3 weeks have been so fun telling you about some great books that are going to start your 2021 TBR or to-be-read pile out so strong. First was Daryl Strawberry and his new book, Turn Your Season Around. Then we had my sweet friend Hannah Brencher on to talk about her new book, Fighting Forward. And today I have the crazy awesome pleasure to chat with and introduce you to Rachel Cruz and her new book, Know Yourself, Know Your Money. If you don't know, Rachel is the daughter of money guru Dave Ramsey and has built a name for herself within Ramsey Solutions as a podcaster, speaker, and author. Today we are talking about the reasons why we have the relationship with money we do. Have you ever thought about how you were taught to treat money? Is that still how you treat it? This book is the Enneagram of Money for us all, and it is breaking down the whys and some great hows. It's such a good book, y'all. So in today's chat, Rachel and I just jumped right into the conversation, probably because I got nervous and forgot to hit record, but also because I was just so excited to talk to her. I know you're gonna love meeting and chatting with Rachel and I, so friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. When you're out and about, like, do you grab coffee? What's your coffee order?
You know, I don't as much. I mean, I'll do chai tea lattes at Starbucks. That's kind of my go-to Starbucks one. But I do, I'm not a coffee snob by any means. So I can do like a Keurig coffee at home and I'm so happy, but I drink a cup every morning. My husband, I kind of got in this routine. He wakes up early, usually to exercise, and then he'll come back in around six, and him and I, from about 6 to 6:45, I lay in bed. I put a Keurig in my room.
So smart.
So I literally take two steps out of bed, make my little cup. I come back in bed and it's our time, but it is, we're both drinking coffee and I love it. He does creamer and all of that, but I love the black, just straight up black coffee.
I think my goal for 2021 might be, I don't know if I want to.
You can do it.
I might want to try even just a hint of almond milk, you know, just a touch, something.
Yeah, just a little splash. Just a little splash. You don't need much.
Yeah, that might be one of my goals for 2021.
It's an acquired taste. It takes a little bit. The reason I did it is because our creamer was expired. And it took me like a week to get a new creamer. And then when I went back to it, I was like, man, I kind of just like the black coffee. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I've stuck with it for a few years.
There's something about like just being able to like have a cup of coffee without like, oh, I don't have creamer. Oh, and it's just like, if you have black coffee, you can drink coffee anywhere with anybody. Like, it's just an easy thing.
Love it. Very true.
Okay. We're going to talk about your new book today. But for those of us who don't maybe know your career path or who you are, can you give us just a touch of who you are and what you do?
Yes. Well, I have such a passion on helping people get in control of their money. Money is such a stressful, shameful topic for so many people. And so being able to give them a plan, being able to give them guidance and to show them practically, here's how you win. Here's how you control your money versus your money controlling you. Yeah. And so I've been doing it for over a decade now. It's been like 11 years, which is crazy. So I used to travel and speak when we had events, but that's it's a little different these days. But I write books, have a podcast, The Rachel Cruz Show. I'm on YouTube. And yeah, I just love giving people content on how to control their money and create a life that they love.
That's so cool. And your new book, Know Yourself, Know Your Money, is kind of all about us kind of diving into like how we were taught about money and then how that affects us as an adult. And the funny thing is yesterday I was having, we're having like drinks with our best friends and we were talking about this because I told him I had my interview with you today. And I was like, it's so interesting because my husband and I were raised very differently with money. I'm a pastor's kid from Alaska. So we had zero money. And then, and so we were just raised so differently. And then we were talking to them about how differently they were raised and just the impacts of even like when you get your first job, how that affected us as adults. And it was so interesting. So tell me, like, this book was birthed out of what for you?
Yeah, probably 4 years ago, I kind of went on this discovery of myself, I guess you could say. No event really led to it, but I stumbled into the Enneagram. I stumbled into personality tests. I remember I read the book, The Birth Order, and I'm like, okay, I'm a middle child. How's that shape who I am today? I was in some counseling, and I just really, really was like, okay, I'm starting to understand myself more than I ever have. And that self-awareness just made me healthier emotionally. I think I was a better wife. I was a better mom, a better friend, a better sister, a better mom, daughter, all of it, all the roles I play. And then I remember thinking, okay, how does this translate to my money? If I start asking these why questions, why do I handle money the way I do? Do I have that same kind of self-discovery, self-realization? And oh gosh, it was like this black hole that I went in, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's so much here. Because I talk about the how-to of money for my entire job. I mean, that's what I talk about: how to budget, how to get out of debt, how to build wealth, how to refinance, how to give, how to. But personal finance is 80% behavior. It's only 20% head knowledge. So that head knowledge, you can know how to do it, but doing it and changing your behavior is where you're going to see progress. So I thought, man, I just haven't dove into why we have the behaviors we have with money. And so out of that, I found, yes, everything from your childhood to your dreams, your money tendencies, your money fears, why you spend the way you spend and give the way you give. I mean, all of it is tied back to who we are. And so I was like, this has to be my next book, to really dive into kind of under that foundation, if you will, of those money principles I've been talking about for a decade, but to really get to the heart of who you are. And then when you understand that, you can change your bad habits, bad money behaviors to healthier ones.
Yeah. And it's so good and it's so true, because that is like when we learn about the Enneagram, we learn about like, oh, this is actually what's making me tick. And this is actually like why I explode the way I explode, or why I love the way I love. And it's the same thing with money. Like there's times where, I mean, we're before Christmas. And so our pastor talked about contentment on Sunday, about like contentment. Like, why can't we be content, especially this time of year? Like, why are families going into more and more debt over one morning? Like, and truly, like, you have kids and I have kids, like, we know, like, and even this year, I talked to my husband, like, we're going to go camping the day after Christmas. And I said, listen, we need to have gifts that can go camping with us, because if we take them camping with us, then that gift lasts a little bit longer. If we leave and come back after Christmas, those gifts are already gone. Like, they're already out of sight, out of mind. And so, and we have big kids. I have a 14-year-old, a 12-year-old, and then a 10-year-old. So they're big. So those presents are bigger presents now, but it also is, okay, so if we're going to do bigger presents, here's our price limit. Like, this is where we're going. And so it was just, and it's just so interesting. I talked to my mom about it on the phone the other day, like, big kids is expensive.
Yeah, they get more expensive, don't they? Oh, yes. I still have littles. I can get away with like the $8 toy on Amazon for Charles, who's one. He'll never know. He's fine. He's fine.
Shoot, you better just rewrap a present he's already got.
I know. That's like, right. He has no clue.
So it's so interesting, because all of that does play into who we are. And even Christmas time, like, I find myself like, well, I remember when I was 12 years old at Christmas and I didn't get exactly what I wanted. Like, all of these things kind of play in, and it's so fascinating. And I've been reading through the book and just like underlining and like, okay, Jesse, you're going to read this book after me. Like, cause this is like, it's like the Enneagram of money for us.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, you know, when I was writing it, though, I was like, you know, what the Enneagram did for me was give me language to so much of what I was thinking and feeling and how I ticked and all of that. And so that's for this book. I was like, yes, I want to be able to give language to understand, okay, this is how I grew up. These are my money tendencies. Here are some fears that I have, and put it out there, because you'll realize, okay, once I start to understand who I am, the person in the mirror, then I don't have to play whack-a-mole with all my money problems, right? Like, you hit one down and one pops up the other side, because our life problems masquerade themselves as money problems. So usually the money problems we have are not money problems. They are us problems, whether it's communication with our spouse, whether it's trust, whether it's contentment, whether it's generosity, like, so much of it comes out of our heart. And so being able to pull that out of people and see that, it's really exciting. Cause I think it makes the whole money journey, less that you have to white knuckle your way through getting out of debt or saving, you know, it actually gives a lot of freedom.
Yeah. I have a devotional I wrote and released this year, and in it I talk about Mufasa and the remember who you are. And it's based, like, the story I tell is sitting at Disney World watching the fireworks spectacular, and Mufasa appears in the sky after all the heroes are kind of like beat down. And he's like, you are not your past. Remember who you are. And every time I'm the only person at Disney, hands in the air, like worshiping, because it's such a beautiful moment. And it is, to me, the Lord saying, like, you are not your circumstances. Remember who you are. And you, I was reading through your book. I'm like, yes, somebody else thinks this. Like, somebody else says the exact same thing. And you write about Lion King, remembering who you are not your past mistakes. You are capable of like, yes, we need to look in the past and we need to own who we were, but remember that we can move forward. Tell me, like, did you feel at all silly writing Lion King into your book?
No, I did. Because I love Disney. So, oh yeah, that whole fireworks thing. Oh, I like cry every time. I'm like, it's the most spiritual experience. I love it.
I'm so thankful that you're saying that, because I need that validation, one, in my life, but two, in my spiritual journey.
Oh, I like, give me like Passion Conference and Hillsong, and then give me the fireworks at Disney. And I'm like, yes and amen, Jesus, you're a good God. No, so yeah, it's funny. Money, it's like the only thing in life. Dr. John Delaney talks about this. It's so great, because he said, it's the only thing in life that has a number. Like, you can say, hey, I'm a good mom, but we don't really know what that means. You know, I'm a good wife. Okay. I don't know. Is that an A, B, C, or D scale? Like, I don't know. Your money has a number to it. It's the only thing in our life that has a number. And what ends up happening is that net worth, that number we have, it can haunt us. It can make us prideful. It can secure in a false way. Like, that number is attached to us, and you have to realize your self-worth is not your net worth. Like, who you are is not your money situation. Your money is a tool. It is a separate thing from you. And so having to separate that is really important. And like you said, one of the money fears I talk about in the book is that my past mistakes are going to hinder my future. And is there a tactical reality that, yeah, sure, if you got into $200,000 of student loan debt, it's going to take you a little bit longer to dig out of that hole than someone that didn't have student loan debt. Well, yeah, sure. I mean, there's a logistical reality to it, but that doesn't define who you are. That means your journey to get out of debt maybe take a little bit longer, but who you are as a person, your character, that is not defined by your financial circumstances. And we just live, I mean, in an Enneagram 3 country, I feel like, right? Like, we are just achievers and performers, and the hustle is celebrated, and the big and the better, that's what everyone goes for. And I'm like, man, we are going to get lost, so lost, if that becomes our identity, because it's exhausting. It's exhausting to live that life. So to say, you know what, God, I'm going to view money as a tool in my life, that I am a manager for what you've given me. I don't own anything. It is all yours. And so I'm going to live life with that open hands, and whatever you put in, I will manage well. I will be a good manager, and I will go to scripture and see what you have to say about money. But other than that, it doesn't define me. How much you give me, how much is there, it is not up to, it's not me, who I am in my character.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Converge Podcast Network. And now, a message from a network supporter.
Hey, today's episode is sponsored by our friends at Faithful Counseling. So let's get real for a second. Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? I know for many of us that can be anxiety, depression, fear, or even broken relationships. These are all things that can be holding us back. But this is where Faithful Counseling comes in. Faithful Counseling is a worldwide counseling service that is making professional counseling accessible, affordable, and convenient, so anyone and everyone can face life's challenges and get help anytime, anywhere. Faithful Counseling offers 4 different ways that you can connect with a licensed counselor. You can sit down for video calls, phone calls, live chats, or instant messaging. Every counselor on Faithful Counseling is licensed by their respective state board and has over 3,000 hours of experience. If you think Faithful Counseling is for you, you can sign up today and be matched with your counselor in 24 hours or less. Faithful Counseling is helping us live our healthiest lives in the comfort and safety of our own homes. Be sure to check out Faithful Counseling at faithfulcounseling.com/JeanetteTapley. And now back to today's show. We are in a hustle world where the achievement is celebrated, where the hustle, where if you're a workaholic, like, good on you. And it's like, man, that's really not the life that we're supposed to lead. Like, God is so much more for us. And the abundance actually is in the humility, and it's in the slow pace, and it's in the being still. And that is not the culture that we're one, raising children in, and two, working in. Like, it's just not. So I love that you're talking about that so much. I call writing a book keyboard therapy. because we you walk through it and then you like pour it back out and you're like, God, I thought we already dealt with this. And so was there any moments of like keyboard therapy for you while writing this new book?
I think this book out of all, I mean, my last book was about comparison living, love yourself or love your life, not theirs. And so that came out of a lot of that journey in my life, discovering that. And this book's very much in the same way. I mean, especially the spending part, I talk about why we spend the way we spend. And it was convicting for me. I mean, because I'm a spender. I love to spend money. I'm more a spender than a saver. And I have to watch myself because even during the pandemic, I'm like, I would just be on Amazon on my phone. And I'm like, why am I buying this? Like, why am I buying this random thing that I don't need? And I started to ask myself, like, okay, well, why? I'm like, because I'm bored.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, well, why are you okay not being bored?
Right.
Because I don't want to sit alone with my thoughts because it's like so scary. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so crazy how we have coped so much with money in our culture. And so for me, I can fall into that. So talking about that in the book was really important. And also for me, I'm an Enneagram 3. And so I know myself in the sense that I know the unhealthy parts of me when it can come to money. So one thing that I filter through before I make a purchase, and I talk about this in the book, is ask the question, if nobody sees this purchase, do I still want it? So before I buy that pair of shoes, if no one saw them ever, 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 do I still want those shoes? You know, whatever it is. And for me, it's like 50-50. 50% of the time, I'm like, dang it, no, I really want people to see these cute shoes. So I'm like, I'm not going to buy it. So I've practiced this in my own life. It was moments like that as I was writing it that I thought, gosh, I've got to put this in here because it's helped me in my financial walk. And it's just something that, it's a tough subject to breach sometimes, but it's important to. So it was therapy for sure.
Yeah. And that's funny that you said it because I'm thinking like that question, like if nobody saw it, sometimes I'm like, no, I don't want people to see what I spent. Like, or I don't want people to know. So there's like that secret, almost like secret spender where that's not, I'm like, oh shoot, that's not healthy.
Yeah, that's good too. On the flip side, the reverse of that. Yeah, that's interesting.
That's so good. Yeah, there was a couple for sure, some Amazon pandemic purchases that one paid off. Like I bought a carpet shampooer because I was bored. But that was a good one. And then there was some stuff where I'm like, did I really need to buy it? Well, and this one actually did pay off as well. I bought a Mickey waffle maker, like the legit Disney Mickey waffles. That one's paid off. I'm okay with that purchase.
Was that great? Oh, that's a great one for sure. No regrets there. No regrets there.
That one was a, like, I want people to see my Mickey boomerang. So that one.
It brought joy all around though.
And it still does. Like Jesse's like, you are eating a lot of waffles right now. And I'm like, cause they're shaped like Mickey.
Because it's good. It's great.
I love that. And after every chapter, there's kind of like these action steps that you kind of like pull it out of people a little bit more of like, hey, like really be practical here. Like one, this is like your whole book is based in scripture. Even with the Lion King, there's scripture there and it's practical. Was that like super purposeful for you?
It was. Yeah. When I do any content regarding money, I really try to be both inspirational and instructional because I feel like you can go one or the other. And if you're just instructional, it's kind of boring. It's like, okay. Right. But if you're just inspirational all the time, then there is none of that practicality of be like, okay, well, how do I literally use this in my daily life today? So yeah, that inspiration and instructional is always in my head when I'm doing anything. So I really do. I want to help motivate people to know that they can change and they can change their money habits. They can have a different future completely from where they're sitting in the present with their money. And that's really exciting. Like, I love that, but that's very much inspirational. But practically how to get them there is really important. Really, really important.
Yeah, that's so wise. We believe that there's a time and a season for everything under the sun. That's what Ecclesiastes tells us. Right now it's time for coffee. What is it time for in your life right now?
It is time. After the book, all the stuff I'm doing with the book, I think it's time for me to just kind of take a deep breath and be home with my littles for a season.
Yeah. Is that something that's hard for you to do? Being an Enneagram 3, kind of like that launching season's a little bit fun because you can see that achievement kind of like pay off in a sense. Is it hard for you to pull back and rest?
You know, it's really not. I kind of started doing it actually before the pandemic in 2020. I kind of made the decision to just pull back some.
Yeah.
It was actually in January. I had my third in October. So last October. So he was like 3 months in January. And I was like, you know what? I kind of just want to pull back And so I made the decision, talked to my team, and kind of figured out a, kind of a new rhythm for me. And then the pandemic hit in March. I was like, well, this has kind of worked out nice because I wanted to slow down anyways. Yeah. So no, it was actually real. I've enjoyed it. I've realized, you know, I love what I do, my job and my passion for this message. It is so alive and so well. But my desire to just be home a little bit more and to pick kids up from school and drop them off at preschool and just be more mom than I was in the past. Just was a desire shift. It wasn't out of guilt or shame or anything. It just, I think you can be an incredible mom who works. Yeah. I think you'd be an incredible mom who stays home. Like I really do. I think that there's gifts that God has given everyone. And I think, yeah, your seasonal statement before I answered that, that's it for me. It's so seasonal. And right now I'm kind of in that season of, I'm going to just pull back a little. And then of course I'm launching this book. So I kind of went back in.
Seasonal. And that's a beautiful thing. Like we have seasons of pushing and that's biblical. And that's, I feel like how we should be living, especially as achievers, like we're going to push really hard and then we're going to pull back. And I have a friend who just demonstrates that for me really well, where she says, I've been in a season of building and planning and doing all of these things. So 2021, I'm going to work on some other stuff. Or she'll say like, I really had a good idea to launch something, but that'll have to wait for June of next year. I'm like, how do you do that? I'm like, I'm doing it today. Like, I feel like I should do this right now. And she's like, well, I just don't have the capacity right now. I'm like, how do you do that? Like,
what is that? What is this?
Yeah. I'm like, I have three kids and they're watching TV and I'm like, on the computer. So a time to pull back is very, very necessary. I love that. Rachel, your book will be available everywhere. Is that right?
Yes. Yep. January 5th. It is out in the world. So anywhere books are sold, you can pick it up and start to know yourself and know your money a little bit more.
I love it. It's going to be the Enneagram book for our money.
I love that. I'll take that.
Rachel, thanks for hanging out with me today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Do you have an understanding of why you treat money the way you do? Do you have a plan or questions that you ask yourself before you spend? I want to challenge you to buy this book. Learn why you spend the way you spend. Dive into this and set some goals. And hey, if you're really healthy and good with money, then I want you to buy this book for a friend and read it together. Be an accountability partner. Let's make 2021 the year we spend and buy and manage our money with intention. Thanks so much for joining me for coffee today. I hope that we're already friends on social media, but if we aren't, come find me on Instagram at Jeanette Tapley or on Facebook at The Jeanette Tapley. If you have any questions about the show or what's coming up, be sure to check out itstimeforcoffeepod.com. I hope you have a great week and I can't wait to see you back here next week when it'll be time for coffee. Bye, friend.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network.